FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Financial Survival Network is brought to you today by Orin Resources, a junior exploration company with the appetite of a major. It's hot on the trail of the next globally significant discovery, creating enormous potential upside for you, the shareholder. Orin is one of the most aggressive exploration companies pursuing high-grade, scalable gold and copper deposits and has a premier seven-project portfolio, including its two flagships, Committee Bay in the Arctic and Sombrero in Peru. Orin's unparalleled technical team and highly experienced management has a history of success in advancing and monetizing exploration assets. No wonder Orin's been called one of the best in the junior exploration sector. Orin trades on the TSX and the NYSE under AUG. To learn more, go to orinresources.com. That's A-U-R-Y-N resources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 2/26/19. February just about gone. Metals have done quite nicely. Looking for a little bit of a retracement. Really haven't had much of one. Will it continue on this way, or are we headed for a new golden era? Well, that's the question. One metal that has really performed stupendously is palladium. It's up over $1,500 the ounce. I mean, really spectacular performance. Today alone, it's up $25 the ounce. Rumors flying about what is going on with palladium. It's not about cars, evidently. Perhaps, and I've heard this from a number of sources, I have no idea if it's true, but cold fusion, evidently, with palladium, along with deuterium and a couple of other elements, you can trigger a cold fusion reaction, which produces more energy, releases more energy than it actually takes to create. I don't know if that's true. If you know about it, I'd really like to hear from you. Explanations are welcome. Email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Getting back to the more pedestrian aspects of precious metals, well, person you're about to hear from, you're definitely going to want to hear from, has his ear to the ground regularly throughout the day, throughout the year. Ken Lewis, you are CEO of Apmex, and if you want to find Apmex, it's APMEX.com. And you've got another site that you're going to be talking about, which is quite innovative and groundbreaking. And really appreciate you coming on the show. So metals prices, they look like they are surprisingly strong. Started around the second week, I guess, of December, has gone through January, and now all of February, showing really uncharacteristic strength for February. For December, for January, you get that seasonal bump regularly. It's starting to look like more than a seasonal bump, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it definitely is. I mean, you mentioned the seasonality that we see. I mean, all you have to do is go back about 90 days ago. I think gold's up over 9%, silver's up over 12%, all while the S&P's up about 4%. You know, everything you read seems to point in the direction of gold having a good wave forward with some upside. Matter of fact, we have an analyst report. One of our partners, Sprott, I'm not sure if you've talked to those guys at Sprott, but we have an analyst report that we can share with your listeners that I really think paints a very interesting picture about gold and the future and what its prospects are and just how high it can go. It seems like it's got some good potential for return in the future.
Yeah, well, I watch these. I'm a student of these markets, have been since the late 80s, basically. Started buying in 1999 and have never looked back. All the gold I bought, I still have because I'm well ahead on it. When you start buying at $200 an ounce or less, you can sit back and watch a lot of things happen. So when we're looking at these markets, all right, I'm curious from your standpoint as a seller of precious metals, what you're seeing in the market, you know, the type of buyers you are encountering, and and what that tells you about what's going to happen here.
You know, it's interesting. 2000, you know, when Trump got into office, I think there's a general view that we thought precious metals might actually perform fairly well. And actually what happened was the opposite. We saw that, you know, demand for physical metal for investment purposes really dropped pretty significantly in 2016. In 2017, I said that wrong. 18 was a little bit better than 17. But really where we started to see retail demand start to pick back up is in the back half of 18. And we see it in our revenue. We see it in the product mix of what we sell to our customers. And that's kind of continued forward. I'd say the first part of this year has continued a nice pace, definitely far better than 17 when Trump initially got into office. You know, we look at our consumers and we do a lot of research. We do about $1 billion a year in revenue as a company. We have over 1.5 million customers. And what we find is that, you know, two things are going on in the customer base. First, you're always going to have those who want to protect their wealth, those who are looking, if you will, to take a little bit less risk. That tends to be a little bit more on, you know, the 50 and older side. And that's a very big piece of our business and always has been. That piece of business in the last 6 months has really started to come back. You know, we have found traditionally precious metals, not that I want to get too political here, but, you know, Republicans tend to, in the past, have bought a good bit of metals from us. We're seeing that some of those individuals are taking some dollars out of the equities markets, and they're coming in with what I'll call fairly large size transactions. And then the other side of the house we're really seeing, which is great to see, is the younger crowd is starting to get very interested in metals. They tend to buy silver, but we're seeing significant more activity on the sub 30-year-old generation. You know, questions as to why that is. I think some of it's the intrigue. Some of it is the convenience. But definitely we're seeing a younger crowd start to come into the market. Their dollars are not as big as the wealth preservation individuals, but their activity and their interest in the product is definitely surprised us a little bit over the last 6 to 9 months.
Yeah. So, you know, it's impossible market to really predict, to really tell. Although back in during the crash, you know, 2007 through 2009, really started in 2008, we saw gold take a major hit. It had broken $1,000, went back to high 600s, and then a short time later catapulted forward. Right. You think we could see something like that again?
You know, it's funny, you know, and the data's out there. Anyone can go research it. You go back and you look at that time where we had, you know, really tough time in our country. And everyone knows what equities markets did in 2008. I'm looking at some stats right now. I think in 2008, equities were off 37%. Gold was actually up 4.3%. And so gold performed exactly the way you would hope it would. It acts as a kind of a hedge, if you will, to the equities markets. The reading I've done recently seems to suggest, and again, I don't generally give financial advice. I would recommend others to do their own readings. But the readings I've come across is when you look at the valuations in the markets, you look at the way gold has performed, there's a lot of similarities to 2007, 2008 timeframe to make people want to believe potentially that gold has some nice upsides. I mean, all you have to do is look at the equities markets there. In general, they seem to be a little overvalued right now. You look at, you know, interest rates and what the Fed's doing, and you look at a number of other factors, and it seems to be very supportive of a rising gold price, potentially performing exactly like it did back in 2008, where it might outperform the equities markets as a natural hedge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's really interesting because you watch the behavior of these markets. Sometimes it's totally divorced from reality, or at least reality is you and I might perceive it. Other times, not. So silver really hasn't partaken much in this rally. As we speak now, it's 11, almost 11:30. Silver is at 1587 the ounce. At what point does silver, you know, put worries behind and leap ahead of gold's performance? Because silver historically has been much more volatile and has advanced much more faster, further than gold. We going to get to that point again here, Ken?
You know, it's a tough one for guys like me. And look, when I give advice to my friends and family, I suggest the upside on silver seems to be more significant than gold. And the downside seems far more minimal. As we all know, silver has many other purposes than just investment. And frankly, its price tends to be a little bit more related to its uses in industrial and in other ways. So it seems like its downside is relatively minimal. I mean, just the cost of mining silver, when you start getting into the mining stocks and start to look at kind of how they manage supply and demand, it would seem to be that silver has more upside than downside. Will it get back to its levels in 11? You know, hard to say. Can it outperform gold? Again, I'd say hard to say, mainly because it's kind of performed a little irrationally more recently. Look, the silver-gold ratios at one point were hitting all-time highs, which didn't make sense. I think everyone thought silver would respond a little quicker than it did, and it didn't happen. Now, with all that said, I mean, the data does suggest in the last 90 days, as I mentioned just a minute ago, silver in the last 90 days is up about 12%, and gold's up about 9%. So, you know, it seems like it's starting to make a recovery. But as I've been told by many, silver does tend to react a little bit later than gold. So they do tend to work in tandem. And you'll oftentimes see silver, you know, 30, 60 days behind kind of what occurs with gold. So if you believe gold has potential for going up, there's a possibility silver will follow it. I think the only other thing I've read about silver and its really downside is the supply side. It's there's really an abundance of silver available out there, and that's probably what's holding it back a little bit right now in terms of price. It's just because of the readily available amount of inventory out there.
Yeah, and that's inventory, which is another way of saying supply. Mm-hmm. What do the supply fundamentals look like? Obviously, production in both metals appears to have started a downtrend in, right, I guess, 2017. Up until then, production was increasing, but mining companies out there having trouble raising capital, and
right,
it's really been somewhat difficult for them to expand and to increase production. And then you're seeing consolidation in the mining space with the acquisition of Goldcorp and Barrick making acquisitions. You're seeing consolidation. So what does it all mean?
You know, I tell you what, I think what you're seeing is companies are consolidating for economical reasons, right? It's I think I read the one recently with Barrick and Newmont, and mm-hmm, and the amount of synergies that could be available in a deal like that. They're just trying to lower the gold companies are trying to lower their cost, if you will, of being able to execute. You know, and all of us want to see demand grow, and you know, the supply side typically goes with demand. I mean, the cost of mining, you know, it can get a little bit cheaper. It's kind of like oil, right? We've seen the cost of being able to put oil out of the ground lower over the years. You know, you hope with some consolidation, technology advancements, that we can see the same in gold. I think the key is going to be, you know, really is going to be the supply side. One of the things that I've been reading a lot about on the supply side, I'm sure you have too, is just look at the inflows into the ETFs for gold in the last 90 days. Believe it or not, there was actually an outflow. Gold really had become really a product that people didn't want to invest in for about 18 months there. And in the last 90, 120 days, you've seen a massive inflow where people are buying ETFs, trying to get more exposure to gold, which I think that is going to be great for the mining side of the business as we can increase demand.
Yeah. And obviously, it's just like a stock. A stock could be totally unloved, and then one minute, all of a sudden, Wall Street finds out about it, and then it's the hottest thing since sliced bread or whatever. And metals, you know, were boring from the late 80s to early 2000s, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it took off, and nobody was predicting it, no analyst, nobody. And perhaps more now, what about the precarious global economic situation? What are your thoughts there as far as people fleeing to hard assets and such to try to, as a defensive move, wealth preservation move?
You know, it's interesting, again, people do their own research, but you know, one of the things I've been reading a lot about lately is even how, and it really plays into gold, but you know, how countries are now trying to become more independent and not be dependent on the US dollar and taking massive reserves of gold lately. I mean, Russia and India and various countries out there are looking to become more independent and less dependent on the US dollar. And, you know, when you look at some of our tactics, positive or negative, you can evaluate any way you like in terms of trade and foreign relations and the various treaties that we've pulled out of as a country in the U.S. I can see where, you know, gold might start to return to some of the, you know, interest levels that were out there years ago in terms of its liquidity, its independence, its ability to diversify, both at a country level and then down to an individual level. I mean, I think there's a lot of talk about, you know, interest rates. There's a lot of talk about inflation. Are the equities markets overvalued? You talk about the countries and trade disputes and other things of that like, and it seems like it's perfect for a conservative investment like gold, in my opinion, or even other alternative investments, even if you don't want to be in gold, looking at finding ways to get yourself a little bit out of equities or less exposed to equities. You know, it seems like the logical thing to do based on what you're hearing in the world. And frankly, some of the things that our own government has done in the last 24 months would make you want to think twice about where you invest your assets.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt this is true. So you have like a new platform for AtMex. Everybody knows AtMex, atmex.com. So tell us about your new platform.
You know, it's look, we looked at the market and tried to understand kind of where things are going. And when we started to research One Gold, the crypto markets were performing fairly well. And I'm not a big believer in cryptos necessarily. I think there's issues with it on a number of different angles. But one of the things I love about cryptos is I love some of the technology it brought to the table in terms of security for users. And I also like its convenience, its ease of use for anyone who's used the applications out there. So what we did was we said, man, there's some good things here. How can we combine traditional gold ownership with some really nice technology that allows instant liquidity, that allows individuals to take physical if they so choose, and to allow it to be done with a few clicks on your computer. And so we came out with a product called One Gold, O-N-E-G-O-L-D. Believe it or not, in 90 days, we've already got over 1,200 customers. Our revenues have grown. Basically, they're doubling month to month, like you would expect for a new entity like this. And really, the feedback we're getting from consumers is, they love the ease of use. They love the ability to take a position in and out of a position on a moment's notice. Whereas, you know, traditional physical, and there's always a home for it, and it's a big part of our business. Traditional physical is a little bit more cumbersome to store in the home. It's a little bit more challenging to liquidate. It is off the grid, if you will. So, you know, if you're an ETF buyer, though, you really start to question the fee structures. You question whether physical is backing it. You prefer to self-manage rather than go through your broker and pay a fee. So it kind of meets those needs, but also giving you some of the traditional benefits of a physical product like we sell at AtMex.com.
And that's pretty cool. Obviously, you believe it, and I believe it, that you should always be holding some physical metal. But this is kind of in addition to that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the way we pitched it, even on AtMex, we just put a banner up is, look, if you're a believer in physical, you believe in it for a number of different reasons. And I won't get into what people's necessarily their reasons are. You know, mine personally, I like having independence. I think about it for long-term inheritance. I think about it from a lack of reliance on the banking system. I like just having a little bit of it on the sidelines. In addition, though, I sometimes see gold or silver as an opportunity to invest more, but I don't want to necessarily store it at my home. I want to take a broader position. In the past, you would go buy a GLD or a FIS or an ETF in general. What we tried to do is give you an opportunity to take a position in metal that doesn't require you to own paper. You can actually have a position in pooled metal. You can have that metal shipped to you at any moment's notice when you want. So you get some of the benefits, like we mentioned, of physical ownership, but at the same time, lower cost of ownership than physical, and just the instant liquidity that sometimes physical can be a challenge with. And look, my view is there's going to be products like this that hits the market eventually. There's always going to be a need for physical. There's going to be digital products, and there's going to be paper. And Atmix wants to be relevant wherever we can for our customers.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, staying relevant, connected, following the trends that are important to your market. Right. With such a large customer base, obviously, you didn't just enter into this digital realm lightly. You did a lot of research. What did the research tell you?
You know, well, first and foremost, we used a company called Tradewind out of New York, and Tradewind is a spinoff of IEX. And anyone who knows who IEX is, it's a trading platform, you know, trying to give the New York Stock Exchange a run for their money, right? And it's using technology and advancements and low cost of execution. And you know, when we partnered and we got together on this, we felt like there was an opportunity to make the execution cost be very, very low for consumers, provide all the protection that they're looking for, and then convenience. And you know, one of the things, Kerry, consumers can do on the site, which is pretty cool if you ask me, you can link your bank account and actually move money to and from your One Gold account on a moment's notice. You can't do that on a traditional retail website. You can actually pay for the product in Bitcoin if you want, or you can use a credit card. Or the other one that's very nice is you can do recurring transactions. So when we were analyzing it, a lot of people want a dollar cost average when they buy metal. And so we listened to that. And we said, okay, we can set it up where you can make a recurring transaction, hit your credit card, hit your cash balance every week, every day, every month, and you get the dollar cost averaging benefits of owning precious metals as well.
Yeah. All good things, all noteworthy. So you have a free report for our FSN community members. Can you tell us how you get it?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm not sure. It's actually right now on One Gold's website. And what I'll do is, I'm going to look at this website while we're talking right now. I want to make sure it's prominently positioned, but right within our insights tab, there is the Sprott research report on gold. Peter, the CEO of Sprott is giving me permission to share it. I think consumers, after they read that, they really take a good direction on why gold might go up. What are the things supporting it in the future? As you know, we're honestly, at the end of the day, I'm a retailer. I'm not giving financial advice, but I can share reports like that might help consumers make an educated decision on their investment. So that product will be up on our website, but I'll also make it available for you to post on wherever you might have that you can give access to your listeners.
All right. Excellent. So onegold.com, and you should get that Sprott report. I've seen it. It's very valuable. Gives you a good perspective because we're in uncharted territory here in the economy and perhaps in life, the technological advances and all the costs that have come with them, the globalization, all the pluses and minuses there as well. So you need to get that report for sure. OneGold.com, the word one and gold.com. Check it out. Get the report. Anyway, Kent, really appreciate you coming on. So people want to find you, Atmex is the best place, atmex.com.
Absolutely. Hey, and we know, I think one of the things you know, and we were very proud of is our history of taking care of customers. Our customer services, obviously off the charts, and hopefully builds that loyalty. Our customer base kind of reflects that. And please, if there's ever an opportunity that we can do to address anyone's issues or opportunities, please feel free to reach out. We're here to serve.
All right, Ken, thanks so much for coming on. Hey, questions, comments on this? You want to find out more about gold and cryptos, just email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. We answer all good questions, always get read on the show. And Twitter feeds @KerryLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. You're listening to this on a podcast or on YouTube. Please subscribe, like, and share at the appropriate platform. Really helps me a lot when you do. It helps get the message out to those of you who need it. Ken, really appreciate your coming on, and good luck with the new site.
Thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.